Stephen Mojan, if you've ever heard or seen the Sam Bush Band, you know Stephen Mojan. He's the guitar player. He's the all kinds of different string instruments player, singer, great harmonies, writes songs. Stephen Mojan has a brand new album coming out. We have the first release of a single from that, I'm Gonna Ride. The name of the album is Ordinary Soul. It hasn't been released in total yet. We're going to talk to Stephen in the second hour. Stephen is a great songwriter. Not only is he a great performer and musician, he runs Dark Shadow Recording in Nashville, which is putting out just quality after quality recording. Stephen is a recording engineer. All kinds of great things to talk about. And we talked a little bit about the impact of this coronavirus on their profession. This is a music show. I can't deal with every issue out there. I can deal with musicians, and I always want to know from their point of view what's happening. We kind of know from our point of view, but it's a different world for everybody. Musicians are certainly different. Then we're going to talk a bit about the remarkable career of Stephen Mojan. Stephen Mojan, known you a long, long time. He had an honor of sitting on a board with you for the International Bluegrass Music Association. Got to know you pretty well. And I know all the things that you do. Welcome to Unreal Bluegrass First.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve.
But I don't know that all the audience members know of all the things that you do. So I know that you have Dark Shadow. I want to talk a little bit about what your studio does and what it has. It's got a lot of notoriety. You have a lot of great recordings that come out of there. They're always top flight and always get attention for awards. Talk a little bit about your musicianship and this new album is coming out May 8th. They've just heard the single that's been released, I'm Gonna Ride. But Stephen Mojan, Unreal Bluegrass has never heard you talk before.
Maybe that's okay.
they've heard your music, lots of it, but they've just never heard Stephen Mojan explain all the things that you're into. So let's go into that a little bit. Start where you will, and I'll kind of pull you through it, but I think you know how to do this.
Sure. Well, you know, I got into bluegrass when I was just a kid. My dad got a wild hair to learn how to play guitar, and every kid wants to do what their dad's doing, so I kind of came along for the ride. It was about 5 or 6, something like that, and through some family friends, we started going to jam sessions and whatnot, and it happened to be bluegrass and acoustic country, and so really my first music memory is of bluegrass, even though I grew up in western Massachusetts. Certainly not the hotbed of bluegrass music.
No,
yeah, it was really the core of everything I did for a good long while, and I got into high school and was doing musical theater and played, electric guitar in the dance band and sang in the show choir and all of those sorts of things. And then on into college, my degree is in vocal music education, and I sort of planned to be a choir director. Didn't really ever occur to me that I could play music professionally. It just didn't, I don't know. I don't know why it never crossed my mind, but it just didn't seem like an option. And then had a chance to audition for a band and around Nashville area and got the gig, moved down in 2002, and then toured around with a bunch of different folks in from 2002 to 2006. I played with Melanie Cannon's band and Randy Coors and Audie Blaylock and Jim Lauderdale and just tons of different folks trying to string together a living. And in 2006, I was able to audition, or I began working for Sam Bush, and I've been there ever since. And through all of that, I've been learning to record and really started our Dark Shadow Recording label in 2009 as a launching point for our harmony teaching instructional CDs and the Nedsky and Mojo album that we put out, which is now then 11 years ago.
I can't believe that's been 11 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. The label was sort of it was going to be teaching at a label, and I always dreamed maybe someday we could put out something on an artist. And our first group was the Rigneys, a family band from Normandy, Tennessee. And then in 2014, we put out a record on Becky Bullock, her first solo album with us, and we had some great success with that, wonderful collaborations. We won Recorded Event of the Year with Southern Flavor and Bluegrass Boys backing her up, which was a really fun adventure. And that opened the door to doing another record with her a couple of years later, Cray Pepper Heart, which also won a couple of awards.
Fantastic.
And then last year we actually built a new studio and kind of reformulating what we were doing as far as my role and everything. And, you know, I'm out touring with the Sam Bush Band quite a bit, but I've been teaching a lot on the side in different avenues. I was at a doing their bluegrass program and really wanting to spend more time at home and with my family. So we reinvested in the label, and last fall we released the new Rick Ferris album,
which is great.
This spring we're beginning to do my record, and then Becky's got a new one hot on the tails of that. So we're really trying to move forward and do a lot more music and have it more focused around home and family.
And you know what? It's funny you mention that, because I get the feeling. I've met your wife in Raleigh. I've heard your child contribute harmonies, I think, and I know your wife also sings. I get this family feeling, and I get it. I get the same thing knowing Becky and the way her musical heart goes. I think it's a great fit, and I think what you're doing is it's not that you're trying to feature family music, but I think of Dark Shadow, Stephen, as a family centric sort of a group anyway. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make sense, but I think the music that you're putting out kind of puts that vibe. Maybe just because I know you and the artist.
No, that's definitely the core of what we do. Anybody that I sign to the label, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for folks that work as hard as I do, just good quality humans. And I think the music sort of is amplified by that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think so, and I think it comes across in the touch that you have for these, for the recordings you're putting out, and also just for the artists in general. And I know, I happen to know that you're friends with so many of them that you record with. You mentioned, by the way, I'm talking to Stephen Mojan. You mentioned early on the Nedsky and Mojo, lest anybody forget. Nedsky's Ned Lubarecki.
Yep.
in your Mojo, but you know, Ned is one of my favorite people and a frequent guest on Unreal Bluegrass. And I've always said, Stephen, he should be an automatic into the top five for IBMA every year for Banjo Player of the Year. I've known him for a long, long time. I know what he can do. I know what he does. And to me, he should be a lock into that five to get there every year.
He's so good. He's so good. He's one of those players that is really good at figuring out what a song needs. And if it needs a J.D. Crow approach, he'll do that.
And
if it needs something that's really left of center, he can totally nail that too.
Yeah, yeah.
And anything in between. You know, he's really one of my favorite banjo players, as well as a dear, dear friend.
Yeah.
I'm tickled that we were able to have him on this record.
Yeah.
He's the only banjo on the entire record. So he's on eight cuts on this new album.
Well, let's talk a minute about the full album. We know that's coming out the 8th of May. The name of the album is Ordinary Soul, and they'll be able to find it everywhere on Dark Shadow. But I only have the one song. Let's talk a little bit about what to expect when the full album becomes available in May.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was fortunate to have the core of the Sam Bush Band in on five of the songs. And we had Ned guesting on those as well. So there's that sort of Newgrass influence, you know, drums, bass. Sam's on mandolin on four and on fiddle on one of them. Sam came and sang on several of them with me as well. And then there's three tunes that are just straight up five-piece bluegrass band. And that band was Ned on banjo. We had Corey Pyatt on mandolin, Alan Bartram on bass, and Laura Orshaw on fiddle. And then guest vocals by Rick Ferris and Alan Bartram, Melanie Cannon, Buddy Cannon, the Gibson Brothers.
Oh.
Jan is on there. I'm sure I'm not thinking about somebody.
Yeah.
And then there's three tunes that are sort of an acoustic country thing, which was Mike Bubb on bass. And then we had Laura Orshaw and Becky Buller playing twin fiddles live. And then Corey Pyatt on mandolin, myself on guitar. And so there's three kind of acoustic country
tunes.
One of those is actually going to be my next single. It's a tune that I wrote with Eric and Lee Gibson. We three met in 86 or 87 as I was going up on an open stage, and they were coming off of an open stage in Schuylerville, New York, at the Smoking Green Bluegrass Festival. And so we've known each other since we were kids, but we've literally never done anything musical together. We were just always, you know, ships passing, and we had different career trajectories. And a few years ago, we sat down when they were coming through Nashville and wrote a tune, which just sort of, it sat there, and actually we kind of lost it for a while. I had some lyrics, and Eric had some of the melody, but we kind of lost it for a while. And then as I was putting this record together, I found some of the full lyrics and was able to resurrect the tune. And then fortunate that they were able to come and join me on it, to sing on it. And it's a cross between, it's got the Ray Price shuffle and a bunch of Buck Owens kind of phrasing. And, it was so much fun to put this together. And it's a really neat tune. I can't wait for folks to hear it, but it's a complete departure from this first single, which is, you know, drums, bass, full on Newgrass approach. This second one is very much a classic country sound.
I guess that'd be kind of like what you mentioned the Gibson Brothers did, Mockingbird album. They did. They had a band and they all went back to electric and played a lot of country kind of Americana sound, which I thought they did really well.
Yeah, you know, country music is at the core of everything they've ever done, really. Not necessarily electric-wise, but just the heart and soul. You know, they're big Merle Haggard fans and Lefty Frizzell and just all of that catalog of classic great singers with great songs, and they're just all about that. So we're definitely looking for that in this vein. Like I said, it's an all-acoustic band, twin fiddles, Mike Bubb on bass, just walking through the whole tune.
He's the rock.
Man, it was so much fun. Looking for that. The tune is called "Is There a Place for a Fool," and that's going to be coming out in the coming weeks.
Well, we'll get that. We'll make sure we get that. Ned Lynn, Real Bluegrass, and we talked a little about your relationship with Ned Lou Barecki, and in fact, I want to lead into this the Nedsky and Mojo album, which is just one of my favorites, and I know the song that you want to introduce as we cut away to another tune today, but I want you to give the background story to Jenny Danced, and there's a kind of a sad portion of it as we know now, but tell them a little bit about that.
Well, you know, when I started teaching, I got out of college and immediately got a job in Orange, Massachusetts, which is sort of central Mass. It's just east of Worcester. Just west of Worcester, and it's a little community. It's one of those mill towns where there's no mills anymore, and really depraved area. But it was a wonderful place for me to begin my teaching career, and I was the choir director there, and I was hired and asked if I would do the musicals, and I had always been in musicals as a student. Certainly had never produced, directed any of them, but I thought, why not? Sure, let's do it. And, you know, of course, the first hurdle for me was I am not a dancer. I was always the big, strong guy. I got to, you know, lift people who needed lifting and then sort of stand in the back.
Let me just say this. If you've not met Stephen, then you will, on the road somewhere or performing or something, he's pretty much nailed the description of exactly what you would expect is what he's described. And whether or not he could be a dancer, but I think your description matches exactly what people will find.
I'm just not graceful enough for any of that. fortunately, had a voice that allowed me to have parts that didn't require too much of that. but anyway, so I tackled this job, and I knew immediately that I had no earthly idea what to do with choreography or dancing or anything. You know, I can look at something and tell if I like it or not, but I certainly couldn't tell you what to do. And so I went to the superintendent, who said, you know, there's a retired dance teacher here in Orange, and maybe she'll come out of retirement and help us out. And it was Ginny Pacari, who had a dance studio in Orange for years and years and years, had closed and was just, you know, just kind of living at home with her husband and hanging out. And I'm trying to do some math here, and it's not coming to me quickly, but I want to say she was at least late 70s at that point, if not early 80s. I guess it would have been mid to late 70s at that point. And, of course, I was fresh out of college, as green could be. But the remarkable thing about Jenny, when she came and committed to doing this, she was just so full of energy. She was that personality that would walk in and literally light up the room, always smiling. I can still remember the day she walked out onto our auditorium stage, and the kids just stopped. They could feel her presence. And she was a very small lady, had the body of a dancer. She was very elegant in the way she moved, a very classy lady, but petite. And the way that she could just command your attention was just remarkable. And the passion that she brought to that show and then the next two shows after that was just remarkable. It was such a treat to see two very different generations of people working together for a common goal in such a positive and delightful way. And, I really became close friends with her and, leaned on her a lot during those musicals. But she and I were definitely of the same mind when it came to demanding quality and demanding the best out of people and expecting nothing less. That was sort of the core of what we both were about. And it was a treat to learn from her and to be around her for those years. And so years later, I went back to visit, and I was having a little bit of struggle with my career, wondering if I was doing the right thing. This was before I started touring with Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was playing in 11 different bands and still sitting home every other weekend trying to figure out how to pay the bills. And I know most of the bluegrass community knows exactly what that means. It can be very daunting, and it can be a little bit of a struggle. So I went back and chatted with her, and it was very uplifting to talk with her about different things and so on and so forth. And I got back to Nashville and hung out with Craig Market, and we were just sitting around trying to write a song, and I was telling him about Jenny. And we ended up writing Jenny Dance, and it's
beautiful.
It really does capture the essence of who she was, and she just always had that presence that was uplifting. No matter what you were going through, she was there and happy and joyful. And I just found out early March she passed away, and her daughter-in-law, she said in a text to me, she said, "You know, Jenny, she never had a bad day."
Wow.
And
what a wonderful thing to have said about you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to play her song for her. Ned and I did a tour up through there one time,
beautiful.
And we got to go to her house and have a meal before the show. And then played that show that night and was able to sing the song for her. And I know that she was really thrilled with the tune and shared it amongst her family and friends. So that meant a lot to me that there was that sort of impact, and I really do love the song, and I love the lady. She was a wonderful person.
Couldn't be a better introduction to the tune. You're going to hear Jenny Dance from Netsky and Mojo. My guest today is Stephen Mojo. We'll be right back. There you heard Jenny Dance. Stephen, you did a great lead-in. I knew a lot of the story. Of course, part of the end was brand new, but I've always liked the song. I know it got pretty much attention, too, on national radio. I think it wound up in more places than you may have guessed when you sat to write it.
It did. Yeah, I was really shocked to see folks, kind of fall for the tune. And I guess it seems like there's somebody in everyone's life that is that kind of figure. And hopefully, I hope everybody has a Jenny in their life.
Yeah. If they're lucky.
But there's always a grandpa or a nana or whatever that's somewhere shining some hope in an otherwise dark life. for everyone. It seems like those were the stories that everyone was telling me as they would say, "Oh, I heard the song. I love it. I have a fill in the blank."
Yeah.
And so I guess that really connected with a lot of people in a good way, and I'm tickled for that.
I think that's accurate. You know, Stephen, we set this time up to talk, or at least in the plans of putting together something with you to talk about the new single and Dark Shadow. And in between that time of the initial discussions of doing this, an incredibly weird thing happened to the country, sad thing. And I know that now we're kind of in the beginning of understanding what a pandemic means as far as the nation, all the people, all the employees, and because I deal with musicians more, I know the impact on musicians has been hitting a brick wall.
Yeah, and it's stressful in a lot of ways, but also being mindful that we're not the only industry that's being hit. It's across the board, from restaurateurs to travel agents to, you know, pick your industry. Everything is being affected by this.
And more will be affected.
Absolutely. Yep. Really, the only thing we can hope for is that everybody stays home and this thing passes as soon as humanly possible so we can get back to living life.
That's the hope. I guess the studio's there, but I guess in reflex to the fact that the venues are shut down and gigs, there's probably nobody coming in to record. I guess there could be some things that are scheduled, but I guess the impact is on that too.
It is. For full-length projects, folks are not wanting to part with the money because they're not sure what's going to happen next, and I totally empathize with that. I've been fortunate to have a few wonderful songwriting clients that have been sending me songs to demo that I would play and sing and record. And that's helped. And then, of course, as everybody, I'm back to doing some Skype lessons and some of my band coaching, voice lessons, guitar lessons, that kind of thing, which I've really gotten away from the last couple of years because of my focus on the studio and the label. But, you know, we're really trying to do what we can to get our new music that was already in the pipeline out and promoted and so on and so forth. But, it's a scary time. Even though we do have a few fail-safes, they're not redundant enough.
So just so everybody knows, the great music you've been putting out on your label, do they go to you, or can they go to Dark Shadow Recording, or can they go to both and find out what those releases are?
Yeah, darkshadowrecording.com is the hub for everything, and you'll find Becky Buller and Rick Ferris, Nedsky and Mojo, Man About a Horse is up there, the Rigneys, and then, of course, my new project as soon as it's fully available. The single is, of course, now, but we'll have the full project coming to you in the next couple months.
I know, Stephen, when you were rebuilding this studio, we were talking one time, and you were talking about things that I didn't understand, but I understood this much about it. You had all the best stuff and all the best equipment going into the rebuild of Dark Shadow Recording Studio. And I was impressed that you thought about these things. Of course, that's your business. But I knew one thing. Like I said, I don't know what you were talking about. We had a long discussion. All I really got from it is there's a lot of passion and a lot of attention to detail, and that you wanted to make everything better than you could ever think it could be.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been amassing gear for years now. Microphones, preamps, that kind of stuff. The tools that you need to make the records. And, you know, some people have better, some people have worse. But, you know, I've got the gear that works to do what I need. The space itself was kind of a different story. And I was fortunate to team up with a guy named Kevin Hughes from down around Dallas. And he's a passionate acoustician. He loves high fidelity. He loves the sound of a pre-war banjo. He loves the sound of an old Martin guitar. And he has developed some new ways of treating rooms and building rooms and designing rooms that allow you to maintain all that detail and clarity and fidelity while existing in a smaller space. And anybody that doesn't understand what that is all about, typically, if you record in something that's the size of a closet, it sounds like a closet. And there's not much you can do other than kill all of the reflections and all of the sound. And in doing that, you're killing some of the natural tone of the instrument. And so this new space that we built, all the walls breathe. They're all tuned for the space that they're in. It's really remarkable when you hear an instrument coming through the mic. It sounds like that instrument is in the room with you in the control room. And that's, I've never had that experience before, and I'm really tickled that it's our space that we're doing, and it can only get bigger and better.
I knew there was a reason that I wanted you to talk about that, because that's what I felt and what I heard. I heard a longer version of that one time in Nashville talking to you, but I was just drinking it in. I thought, this is such neat stuff that I don't understand. I knew you got it, and I knew it was a good thing for what you were getting into and expanding into. It's great. It's great to hear about it. And on the music, you're slowly, and you go through the list of the people that are on, you are slowly building up this catalog of quality musicians, of good people. I know everyone that you mentioned on there. And so I think you're doing everything right. Now, let's not let the audience forget that being a regular with Sam Bush since, what, 2006?
2006, yeah. That's remarkable. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
It is hard to believe, but it's anyone who knows Sam's band and the level that a performance that he requires, it's an incredible accomplishment. Steven is one of the best, if not the best, guitar players I've seen and heard. He plays acoustic, he plays electric, and he sings. He was talking about his singing abilities earlier. Sing whatever part you want, I hear him sing it. And I know that Sam Bush is an exciting band to travel with. I love seeing him whenever I can. I get the give a nod up to Steven if he's not blinded by the lights, but I know that you want to, we talked about this ahead of time. I know that as we're leaving, you were going to pick a song from, that you, did with Sam as our parting shot at, the music. And you can introduce that one too. You did such a wonderful job on Jenny Dance.
Sure. Well, you know, I have been a dabbling songwriter for years. I've never been active with it. It's always been a passion of mine as a hobby. I don't pitch my songs. I don't, you know, if I wasn't making my record, all those songs would just be sitting in a drawer. But one day, Sam and I got together and we just decided to sit down and write a tune. And I was really... Again, much like my single, I'm Gonna Ride, talks about grabbing life by the horns and kind of getting after it.
Right.
This tune, Play By Your Own Rules, is a different twist on that same sort of topic, and it certainly was at the forefront of my mind as we began writing this. I came up with some of that chorus on the drive over to Sam's house that morning, and then we just sat around, we wrote the tune, and a few years later, Sam said, "Hey, I want to put that on our record." I thought, "Well, great, awesome." And he had written as we wrote the thing. He kept playing this little melody, a little fiddle tune sort of melody, and that really became a skeleton of the entire song. And we have actually opened shows with that song so many times since we recorded it. It's a real thrill. And we were just out in Colorado on a 12-day run before this coronavirus thing hit. And it was amazing on the shows we opened to see people in the audience singing along with the song that I wrote. It's surreal, honestly, because, again, songwriting for me is a hobby and not a vocation. So it's just a treat when these sort of things happen. And it was a great thing to write that tune with Sam, and we keep threatening we need to write another one.
It's a great song, and with Sam putting at the top of the show, it kind of fits. It's almost like a biography of Sam's musical life.
Definitely, yeah. It a lot of the songs that he plays and records have deeper meanings, and they mean something to him, and he's such a great personality, wonderful human to be around, and he's just... You know, he's all light and love, and it's a remarkable thing to watch him turn into a teenager on stage every night.
Because he's not anymore.
No, absolutely not. But that love and energy and passion just comes out every single night on stage, and it's such a thrill to watch it happen and be part of it.
Stephen Mojan, thanks so much, man, for taking some time. I'll say goodbye to you, let you get back to your family and your work, and we'll get through all this together. And as we leave, we'll put in Play By Your Own Rules. It's a great song. I played it often on Unreal Bluegrass, and I think it's a great choice from you.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time tonight.
All right. I'll see you down the road.
Okay. Thank you.
See you, Stephen.